कुंज बिहारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीरावन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीरावन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। 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 जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी।
जय ओम शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र श्रीदेवाइंद्रेश श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की। इस्कॉन डीबीडी संस्थापक आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र श्रीदेवाइंद्रेश श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की, प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासादी गौर भक्त वृंद की, श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरिराज गोवर्धन की, ब्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की, श्री मथुरा धाम की, नवदीप मायापुर धाम की, पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की, गंगा मैया की, जमुना मैया की, भक्ति देवी की, श्रीमती तुलसी महारानी की, कलयुग पावन हरनाम संकीर्तन की, हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की, दाई गौर प्रेमानंदे, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड बॉडीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड बॉडीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। सो टुडे वी विल बी रीडिंग द सेकंड पार्ट ऑफ द परपोर्ट फॉर फर्स्ट कैंटो सेवेंथ चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 10। वी विल चैंट द वर्स फर्स्ट। सुत वाच आत्मा रामाश्च मुनयो निर्ग्रन्थाप्यरुक्रमे कुर्वन्ति अहेतु किं भक्तिम् इत्थं भूतगुणो हरिः। सुत उवाच आत्मा रामाश्च मुनयो निर्ग्रन्थाप्युरुक्रमे कुर्वन्ति अहेतु किं भक्तिम् इत्थं भूतगुणो हरिः। सुत उवाच आत्मा रामाश्च मुनयो निर्ग्रन्थाप्युरुक्रमे कुर्वन्ति अहेतु किं भक्तिम् इत्थं भूतगुणो हरिः। सुत उवाच आत्मा रामाश्च मुनयो निर्ग्रन्थाप्युरुक्रमे कुर्वन्ति अहेतु किं भक्तिम् इत्थं भूतगुणो हरिः। सुत उवाच आत्मा रामाश्च मुनयो निर्ग्रन्थाप्युरुक्रमे कुर्वन्ति अहेतु किं भक्तिम् इत्थं भूतगुणो हरिः. लेडीज सुत उवाच आत्मा रामाश्च मुनयो निर्ग्रन्थापि उरुक्रमे कुर्वन्ति अहेतु किं भक्तिम् इत्थं भूतगुणो हरिः. सुत उवाच आत्मा रामाश्च मुनयो निर्ग्रन्थापि उरुक्रमे कुर्वन्ति अहेतु किं भक्तिम् इत्थं भूतगुणो हरिः.
The word for word meaning is as follows. Suta uvacha. Suta Goswami said, Atma Rama. Those who take pleasure in Atma, generally spirit self, cha also, munayaha, sages, nirgranthaha, freed from all bondage, api, in spite of, urukrame, unto the great adventurer, kurvanti, do, ahetukim, unalloyed, bhaktim, devotional service, itham bhuta, such wonderful, gunaha, qualities, harihi, of the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. All different varieties of Atmaramas, that means those who take pleasure in Atma or spirit self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. So we will take the second part of the purport. Unalloyed devotional service of the Lord progresses in different stages. Practice of devotional service in the material field is of 81 different qualities, and above such activities is the transcendental practice of devotional service, which is one and is called sadhan bhakti. When unalloyed practice of sadhan bhakti is matured into transcendental love for the Lord, the transcendental loving service of the Lord begins gradually developing into 9 progressive stages of loving service under the headings of attachment, love, affection, feelings, affinity, adherence, following, ecstasy, and intense feelings of separation. The attachment of an inactive devotee develops up to the stage of transcendental love of God. Attachment of an active servitor develops up to the stage of adherence. And that for a friendly devotee develops up to the stage of following. And the same is also the case for the parental devotees. Devotees in conjugal love develop ecstasy up to the stage of intense feelings of separation. These are some of the features of unalloyed devotional service of the Lord. According to Hari Bhakti Sudhodaya, the import of the word itham bhuta is complete bliss. Transcendental bliss in the realization of impersonal Brahman becomes comparable to the scanty water contained in the pit made by a cow's hoof. It is nothing compared with the ocean of bliss of the vision of the personality of Godhead. The personal form of Lord Sri Krishna is so attractive that it comprehends all attraction, all bliss, and all tastes, rasas. These attractions are so strong that no one wants to exchange them for material enjoyment, mystic powers and liberation. There is no need of logical arguments in support of this statement. But out of one's own nature, one becomes attracted by the qualities of Lord Sri Krishna. We must know for certain that the qualities of the Lord have nothing to do with mundane qualities. All of them are full of bliss, knowledge and eternity. There are innumerable qualities of the Lord, and one is attracted by one quality while another is attracted by another. Great sages such as the four bachelor devotees, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandan and Sanat Kumar, were attracted by the fragrance of flowers and tulsi leaves anointed with the pulp of sandalwood offered at the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, Shukdev Goswami was attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Shukdev Goswami was already situated in the liberated stage, yet he was attracted by the pastimes of the Lord. This proves that the quality of his pastimes has nothing to do with material affinity. Similarly, the young cowherd damsels were attracted to the bodily features of the Lord, and Rukmini was attracted by hearing about the glories of the Lord. Lord Krishna attracts even the mind of the goddess of fortune. He attracts in special cases the minds of all young girls. He attracts the minds of the elderly ladies by parental affection. He attracts the minds of the males in the humors of servitude and friendship. The word Hari conveys various meanings, but the chief import of the word is that He, the Lord, vanquishes everything inauspicious and takes away the mind of the devotee by awarding pure transcendental love. By remembering the Lord in acute distress, one can be free from all varieties of miseries and anxieties. Gradually, the Lord vanquishes all obstacles on the path of devotional service of a pure devotee, and the results of 9 devotional activities, such as hearing and chanting, becomes manifested. By His personal features and transcendental attributes, the Lord attracts all psychological activities of a pure devotee. Such is the attractive power of Lord Krishna. The attraction is so powerful that a pure devotee never hankers for any of the 4 principles of religion. These are the attractive features of the transcendental attributes of the Lord. And adding to this the words api and cha, one can increase the imports unlimitedly. According to Sanskrit grammar, there are 7 synonyms for the word api. So by interpreting each and every word of this shloka, one can see unlimited numbers of transcendental qualities of the Lord, of Lord Krishna, that attract the mind of a pure devotee.
Vandeyam Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakhanvitamscha, Om Jnanatimirandasya, Jnananjana Shalakaya, Chakshurunmilitam Yena, Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha, Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Tadati Swapadantikam, Namaum Vishnupadaya, Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale, Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Niti Namine, Namaste Sarasvate Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschatya Deshatarine, Vanchakalpatarubhyascha, Kripasindubhyayevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
So I'd like to welcome all of you to our Sunday Bhagavatam discussion. We are on the first canto, 7th chapter, discussing how the son of Dronacharya was punished by Arjun. But just like typical of Srimad Bhagavatam, a very important concept just comes up because of a very important question. So, in the previous verses, we saw how how did Bhagavatam actually come into being? People who write books, they are asked as to how did you write this book? And they say, well, I was here, something happened, and then I thought I should make it into a book. This is how we see authors writing. Since this is Kali Yuga, you can take it for granted. I can guarantee you, most of the most famous books are a product of pure tamoguna. In our school days, we were taught a poem. That poem was kind of generated in the mind of this poet while he had taken ganja. Science fiction is another very popular genre of literature. And one very famous long-running book series, TV series, about what could be in this galaxy, what could be in other planets. We are all curious what could be in other planets. Like early morning, 2-3 days ago, I was sitting in the courtyard and it was 5:45 or something like that. And I saw 2 or 3 stars twinkling. Now, twinkling, twinkle, twinkle, little star, right? Stars have to twinkle. But why do they twinkle? Anyone has any idea why they twinkle? Our researchers have found out that light travels through various densities of air, space, something like that. So that star is not twinkling from its own point of view. It is we here who see it twinkling. And Prabhupada writes about that in the purport, that when you see the stars and you wonder, is anyone up there? Is anyone there in a star sitting in his courtyard and looking at me here and thinking, anyone out there? That's how this world is. Today I saw the moon, and normally the moon has kind of rough faces, rough edges, valleys or whatever. And for the last thousands of years, some people say there is a rabbit on the moon. And our Sanskrit poets have used the moon to describe some female person's face, and so on and so forth. So this particular famous book series came because that author, he had no money to eat. And he only had money to drink. So that's what he did, as many in Europe are prone to do. And in a totally inebriated, drunken state, he had nothing, he didn't have money to take a room and rent. So he just saw a garden and thought, I will rest here. And whole night it was summer, so he could take rest. And early morning he got an idea. And he wrote a book and became famous. So obviously, you and me also could be thinking that, are the Vedas, Puranas, they are also somebody's mental imagination? There is a very big movement among authors in India. And I was thinking, how did this come in the last 15, 20 years or so? Not even 15, last 10 years. So I could find out that in European history, there is a history of Rome, history of Greece. So there were Greek gods, Roman gods. Scandinavia, that is Norway, Finland, Denmark, they have their own mythology and they have their own gods. So today's authors are writing books about, it's all completely imagination. It's complete imagination, fiction. And our Indian authors, they are thinking that, hey, if the superhero novels or superhero things are, that is the fiction of people in Europe, so what is the fiction of India's superheroes? Valmiki's Ramayana is fiction. Vyasa's Mahabharata is fiction. Isn't it? This is the poison that is slowly injected. Perhaps your children, teenagers, may be asking that, oh, I want to read that particular novel. What is it about? It's about, if Draupadi had married Karna, what would have happened? And he said, really? Why would she marry him? Who knows? She might have a secret desire. Now just see how much of a poison this is. There is a Ramayana from Ravana's point of view, where Ravana is the hero. Ram happens to be just a ordinary prince. I met that author, he had come here. Of course, at that time I was having too much of awe and reverence for him. So I didn't ask him proper questions. But he said, see, there is a element among a thought among researchers that history is written by the victors. In any war, one party wins. So they have the chance to write history. And they will write it very biasly. They will say, we were the good guys, the opposite party were the bad people. So, according to this person, the Mahabharata is written from the Pandavas' point of view. They were always good. Ramayana is written from Ram's point of view. Now we need this person, that too in Kali Yuga, to write something to keep the record straight. This world is a very colorful place, just to put it mildly. There is a community in Bengal, somewhere up north of Bengal. They claim to be the, they come in the lineage of Narkasur. No, not Narkasur. Who was killed by Durga Devi? Mahishasur. Mahishasur, the form of a bull. Mahish. So, she killed him. And they say that we are the descendants of Mahishasur. So, Navratri, 9 days, all their homes are covered in black cloth. They are mourning for the loss of their Kulapurush. Yeah, he becomes their Kuladevata. And she is the villain for killing such a great person like Mahishasur. I was talking to one very learned devotee and he said, look, sometimes people don't even need philosophy or religion or history. They don't need any kind of background. They just want to do something opposite. If devotees do something, they want to do something else. Prabhupada writes in the 8th canto, cow, Gomata, she is a very useful gift of Krishna for all humanity. In many of her sections of the Vedas, she is not even considered an animal. She is not considered a pashu. People talk in terms of godhan. Aapke paas godhan kitna hai? Cow means wealth. That same cow, Kali Yuga demons, they want to extract her blood in the form of red meat. They are not satisfied with the milk. They want her meat. In India, a few years ago, or could be there right now also, they say Indian cows don't even have that much of fat on their body, that much of meat. So why are they killed? For the leather. India has become one of the net exporters of leather. So in the 8th canto, in the fight between demigods and demons, Prabhupada says that whatever the devotees do, demons get pleasure in doing the opposite. That's a funny thing. Vasuki is the rope. If you know the 8th canto Leela, Meru Parvat is the rod. The Kshira Samudra, Kshira Sagar, is the place where the churning is taking place. So the demons have caught the end of Vasuki's tail. And the devatas, demigods, had caught the mouth. So some of the demons started saying, isn't this an insult to us? So they said, why, what is the insult here? Oh, we are catching the they call it Angam Amangalam. That this end of tail, and maybe this is where he passes stool or whatever. So why should we catch that? And they lodge a complaint. They go to Vishnu. Vishnu is like the umpire. Yeah, he said, I am neutral. I am going to help both of you. So the demons then complain that we shouldn't be given this inauspicious end of this animal. And Vishnu tries to reason that, you know, nothing inauspicious about that. Just get on with the business. No. Change the parties. So the demigods are told by Vishnu, all right, you go and catch hold of the tail. Let these daityas, they catch the front part. So now they are happy. Sometimes demons are happy just because they got what they want. This time the demons are saying, we are the victors. Do you know what that means? We won. We are the winners. And the churning begins. Vasuki, you can imagine. I mean, humans, we don't have that kind of a facility for experiencing. His body is constantly churned this way, that way. And he must be thinking, God knows why I agreed for this. Some nectar was promised to me also, but then it is too much of a price to pay. And because he is a divine serpent, it starts producing smoke, fumes, poison, gas, fire. And all the daityas were catching that end and pulling back and forth. First the heat, the obnoxious fumes, soot on their face. They are completely miserable. They could have just said, sorry, we made a mistake. Let's switch back. Now the ego comes in between. Now if we say that, you want this tail because you are afraid, huh? We are not afraid. Why you should be? No inconvenience. Nothing. Please try to understand. These daityas are not dead and gone. In Kali Yuga, you and me are the embodiment of that Daitya principle. So many things in life, we could easily just say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. But the ego won't allow. It is said that the ego does harm two ways. One is, you accept something which is inconvenient, and you don't want to say sorry. Second is, you threaten someone. If you do this, I'll bash your face. Or in a family, somebody may say, if you say like that, I will leave. In a business, somebody say, if you say like that, I will split. And then what happens? Then something happens. Now your ego says, now do it. You do it, otherwise this person will say you are a weakling. Many of the so-called big time problems or disputes can be solved just by not obeying the false ego. But among the various things which are weak, Shrudeva Goswami gives a list. Tatas chanu dinam rajan. O king, as every day passes by, what will decrease in the age of Kali? Ayu, bala, spriti, your age duration, your strength, your memory, compassion, truth, satyam, shaucham, kshama, daya. Truth, cleanliness, compassion, mercy, all this will reduce. One thing will, however, be very powerful from the beginning of Kali Yuga and will simply grow in strength. That is our false ego. That is the only thing which I see grows. You see some of these, you go outside in Mumbai and outside Maharashtra area, I'm sure it must be all over India. There's a kind of a babul tree which grows like anything. It doesn't give any fruit, no flowers, no leaves, not even shade, not even firewood. So how come it grows like that? According to me, it is Kali's chela. It's a personal candidate promoted by Kali. Otherwise, how explain? There are pious trees mentioned in Bhagavatam. Punya Drumai. And these are the impious ones. Anyway, we began with an understanding of how books are written with Tamogun. There is a book on Karna in Maharashtra, very popular. People always ask, what about this, what about this? The fellow who wrote is a complete drunkard. Obviously, you have to be so drunk to take out some of the most wrong meanings from Mahabharata. So, use a small indicator. If you don't know something, why it's happening, why it's becoming so popular, please understand it is supported by somebody. There is always a king maker in politics, isn't it? Somebody who is just a nobody, just a branch chief or something, and that guy becomes the next state minister. How come this fellow's name was suggested? Oh, he has strong backers. Similarly, literature, fashions or whatever, or money power, unless there is a backer, that person is not going to be powerful. The exact opposite happens in divine literature. And that's why this chapter is important. Shukdev Goswami is described as Brahmanadyam Sarasvatyam Ashrama Paschime Tate Samya Prashiti Prokta Rishinam Satravardana. The setting was very pure. It is a place especially meant for meditation. And that's where Shri Vyasadeva had his own ashram, Badri Shanda Mandite. Badri means berry, boar, bear. So those kind of trees were growing there. Even today when you say Badrikashram, I have never been there. I don't know whether Badri trees are still there, but actually at that time there were so many Badri trees. Who is Vyasadev? Is he a struggling author trying to make a living, just write some books which could be accepted in his syllabus, so then he gets some royalties every year? No way! Here is described as Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranite Male Apashyat Purusham Purnam Maya Chatat Apashrayam. In that state of Bhakti Yoga, he saw everything. He saw three things basically. He saw the absolute personality of Godhead. Three important things here, two which he saw. He saw, first is, he was fixed in devotional service. Secondly, he saw the Supreme Lord and he also saw Maya side by side. I will not say you and me. It's a me particularly. I come here, I see Radha Gopinath. There is no registration for love. There is no understanding. There is a technical thinking that here there is God and we have to serve Him. But it is not registered. It is not like I may come to meet you and I may see you and say, oh, I met somebody. That feeling is not there. But Vyasadeva, he saw Krishna clearly. He also saw Maya very clearly. And the most important point is he saw Maya under the control of Krishna. There are some religious sects who say that they also have an understanding of God. Their idea of God is who is good. Their idea of God is one who controls his, one who loves his devotees, who gives his devotees whatever they want. But then what happens if sometime you don't get what you want or you get what you don't want? Material life means two things. You don't get what you want or you get what you don't want. You want health, you don't get health. You get ill health, you get disease. You want money, instead of money you get poverty. So many times people who are not trained properly, they feel that even if somebody takes away my problems a little bit, that thing is good. So we have worship of demigods, sadhus, babas, gurus, whatever. The Bhagavatam's idea of Maya. In English language, there are words like anti-god, Satan. Arabia has Shaitan. Who is Shaitan? Who is Satan? What is evil? They say, well, that evil is a independent power. There is no one absolute power. And this is where the Bhagavatam insists very strongly that please don't have this misconception. Maya also is a servant of Krishna. Maya is not a competitor of Krishna. Srishti sthiti pralaya sadhana shakti reka chayeva yasya bhuvanani vibharati durga. She is capable of srishti, sthiti, pralaya, all three things. But how did she get the power? Chaya eva. This is my hand, this is my hand shadow. Will the shadow move independent of me moving it? No. So, now many people will not accept it. In fact, as practicing devotees, we also take a long time to accept it. Why would Krishna allow Maya to trouble me? Simple question. Why would he do that? So, Prabhupada tried so many ways of giving simple examples. I know at least one which attracts my mind. Krishna is there playing his flute. This is the Kartik Mas, beloved Damodar Leela. I look at Krishna, I feel no attraction. So, conditioned world, material world, conditioned souls means we are Krishna Parang Mukha. Here is Krishna, my face is there. I am looking at something else. So behind me is Maya with a stick. So the moment my head turns back, pat. So I say, oh, all right. So then I turn my head towards Krishna. But I don't get that juice from Krishna Seva. So I turn back. Again, pat. So she is not beating us because we are our personal enemies. Or she is our personal enemy. Or she has some problem with us. She just wants us to push towards Krishna. In Maharashtra, we have this Durge, Durgatabari, Tazavina Samsari, Anathanate, Ambe, Karuna, Vitsari. So, oh, this world is so terrible. Hey, Durge, it is too much. Oh, Ma, hey, Ma, oh, Mother, too much problem. Please help. Vari, Vari, Janma, Maranate, Vari. This is like again and again. So, what do you do? Please make it less miserable. That is the foolishness. In Maharashtra, we have an old woman who was gathering firewood, making two or three of those loads, selling them in the market, getting whatever money, subsisting on that. And she became old, very, very, very old. She could not even pick up that load. So she tried picking up, it fell off. And she's saying, "Pick up me, my Lord." No, she didn't say, "Pick me up." She said, "Help me, help me, help me." So, in Marathi, she says, "Uchal re Baba, uchal, pick." So God comes. And God says, this is typical Marathi folk language, "Hey, Matare." He said, "Hey, you old woman, come, I'll pick you up." She says, "What? You are picking me up?" He said, "Yes, I'll take you back home." So she in her Marathi says, "Yada re yada." He says, "You fool, I didn't say pick me up, pick this load." And God says, "Do what? Put it on my head." So each and everything which we do in ignorance of Krishna is simply telling the Lord, "See, this has fallen. Please pick it up and put it on my head. Because I need to carry it. It's my job. It's my duty." So what exactly is your duty in this material world? It's only if you follow Vyasadeva, you'll get a clear understanding. Otherwise, there are million people telling you what is your duty. Your country may say, "Serve me. Desh premi mano." Your boss will say, "Serve me, company premi bano." Your family will say, "Serve me, parivar premi bano." Your friends will say, "Serve us, mitra premi bano." You may say, "As such, nobody is giving me pure love. There is no reciprocation." But everybody is like, whether you like it or not, especially in our colony, every month somebody would come for some subscription, there is a cricket club, they want to make a nice pitch, give 10 rupees. There is some Ganesh also, give 50 rupees. There is something as 20 rupees. You may say, what do they do with this money? So, our love is sacred. In short quantity, it is in scarcity. And everybody wants that love from us. So some people just say, "Get out. I won't love anybody." Virakta. These are the Atmaramas. We will come there very soon. The only way to not get disappointed in love is not to fall in love. Yeah, exactly. How to avoid business loss? Don't start any business. How to avoid indigestion problem? You are becoming expert now. You may say, "Wait, but that's not, how many days fasting? Continuously. Just fast till this whole body gets completely dried and drop dead. And then what? Ah, peace." It's not very attractive, not practical also. Because all of us are philosophers. 19, 20, here and there. As they say, charana, athana, philosopher. But we ask questions. What happens when you ask a question with your friend circle, with somebody? The typical answer you get is, "Tu bahut sochta hai." don't think too much. Don't turn sickly. Your pretty head will, you know, unnecessarily get problematic. Why think too much? There is a new serial coming on Netflix, which is very good. There is a cricket match. Today is it? Or tomorrow? Oh yeah. That promises to be the most entertaining ever. All your problems will be solved. Is it not? There are people who bring boxes of liquor, alcohol, whatever, and they say, are you sure you will win? I say, well, if we win, we will drink in happiness. If we lose, we'll drink in misery. But drink we will. Mind you, the essence, the principle of this is not bad at all. In bhakti also we do the same thing. Whether Krishna helps me, whether Krishna mires me, whether Krishna does anything for me, we glorify Krishna. See, the principle is the same. It's not changing. But here, every single second you put on your mobile phone for understanding the scores or double click on somebody's expert opinion, you are helping somebody make money. And there's only one person who's losing it. You yourself. They are spending time, but they are earning money. You are spending time and money both. So, that's how it is. Vyasadev saw everything, and then he saw how the living entities are put into illusion and material miseries. Now just see, text 6 says that our material miseries are considered superfluous, anartha. How one devotee had told me long ago that Prabhupada's word for word is not just a word for word meaning. It also is a purport. Normally anarthas are defined as things which are not necessary. Artha, good, valuable. Anartha, not good, degraded. This verse only, at least I found it like that, anartha is described as something, things which are superfluous. That means which are not supposed to be given to us. We should not be under misery. But we are. So who is that we who is under misery? By just saying that, I am not the body. I am not the body. Like Dinabandhu Prabhu. Some of you know Dinabandhu Prabhu, Vrindavan, our local Brajavasi, ISKCON Brajavasi. He was moving around with some friends. Those friends would take drugs. The police caught them. He says that I was not part of the group which was selling them. But we were all put in a jail for 24 hours. That jail was something like a small box, metal box. 6 foot, 4 feet, 3 feet, like that. And there was a gap, a window for breathing. So he thought that I made a mistake. I never knew these people, but somehow I am with them now. Because all of them were punished, now I am also punished anyway. But they are all ignorant people. I know meditation. So I am going to try meditation. So many of his friends, they could all see each other in their small prison cell. So he was the one who sat upright. His head was just about to touch the metal upper box limit, the ceiling. And he started his meditation, which he had learned from reading various books, that first of all, he started telling himself, I am not in jail. I am free. I am free to do anything. I am free. I am a free bird. The jail doesn't exist. The misery doesn't exist. There is no jailer. I am not punished. And it was all closed-eyed meditation. And he decided to see whether it works. So he put his hand up. Dang! He said, hey, if I am free, how come my moment is not free? He said, okay, let me try some intense meditation. Then he raised his head, tongue, oh, it hurts. So he came to the realization that just mean simple meditation that I'm free, I don't have any miseries, it doesn't help. But then all his teachers were telling that this whole world is imaginary. Isn't it? Or it's not? What is your experience? Is this world real? It is real enough to be not called imaginary, and it is imaginary enough to be not appear real. So we have our Bollywood philosophers who say that there is no friend, there is no love, there is no life. What do? I don't know anything. Prabhupada once promised, Gita and Bhagavat will never disappoint you. You may not agree with the conclusions. You may feel that Krishna should give me more, Krishna should be doing this, Krishna should be doing that. But if you ask the questions, the answer is there. Now, agreeing with the answer is the most difficult part. Is it not? One devotee put it nicely. When you say, Krishna, can you do this? Krishna says, yes. And you get it. So people say, I'm happy. I want to do some business and Krishna gave me this and now I am having so much. I wanted to give this exam and now I passed. Thank you, Krishna, very much. So Krishna says, yes. Krishna says, no. Sometimes you start something and you get a very clear signal. Don't. In my own personal life, there was one project I was very attached to. And I was thinking, we'll do this, we'll do that. And some of my closest friends, well-wishers, they said, don't do it. I said, come on. I said, no, don't do it. Three times I asked, three times they said, no. I closed myself in a room and I'll not tell what I did. But I was angry, disappointed, whatever. But I said, if the formula is, if people closest to you, they give you some piece of advice, it is exactly as Krishna would tell you. People whom you trust. Because I talked with another devotee, he said, what do you want, Krishna to come in your dream and say that, don't do that? Are you that important? I said, no, for sure. Now the ego is such that, till today I feel it was not a bad decision. Just see. Although now it is 2002, now it is 2021, 19 years ago. I changed my project, I did something else, I was very happy with that. That project became very successful. But still, you should know that the ego is alive. So the principle of how do we get Krishna's advice, that always works. People who are closest to you, the closest Vaishnavas whom you trust, and if they all agree, that is the best thing for you. While Bhagavatam, Narad Muni is giving his discourse, Suta Goswami puts this very important verse. In fact, this verse is so kind of, how do I put it? It is so wonderful, it is so excellent. It is strange in one way. What exactly is Suta Goswami saying in this verse? That there are some people, yogis, who are called Atma Ram. Atma Ram, those who find pleasure in their own self. They don't need to go here and there in the market. Movies, songs, dance, novels, books, parties, whatever. They are simply aloof from all of that. You may say, okay. Rare. In Kali Yuga, such people are very rare. At one point of time, there could be so many of them. No issues with that. So those who take pleasure in Atma, especially those who are liberated. Once you are liberated, what kind of obligation you have? Liberation basically means you are free. Does any of us need to go to Arthur Road jail twice a week, 2 hours only? He said, no, why should I go there? I might go for a walk. I might go for a swimming session. I might go for jogging. That's what free people do in Mumbai. So when you say that, I have one day, I have to do some seva there. That's not seva. Jail means there is force. Do you ever see a jail? Somebody says, okay, please come. What's your name? Okay. What's your crime? Oh, very good. And what's your other details? So here are 17 departments. Which one would you like? Then what is a jail then? Do you find in a jail somebody coming and saying that this rock breaking is hard work? Can I do some secretarial work instead? No way. If you ask something like that, you get beaten more. That's how it is. So, in jail there is no choice. But Atma Ramas are those who have nothing to do with the pleasures of this world. Therefore, they have nothing to do with the pains of this world. That's an important point. But here we are talking of rare Atma Ramas. This is not for everybody. These are some Atma Ramas who desire to render unalloyed service to the Lord. The logic is simple. That means there is something special in Krishna. Something. What that something is, we may not know. It could be a mystery. So, in the last 10-15 minutes of our discussion today, this is a very, I said it's a strange verse, mainly because of Mahaprabhu. This is the verse, famously known as Atmaram verse. Those interested should read Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. There is a book called Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And there is a section of discussion with Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. There this thing comes up. Why? Because Mahaprabhu, although Krishna himself, he takes a very different role. Just today morning, I was just going through some lectures available on Atmaram verse. And there was this one discussion where somebody was reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu tells Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, for my purification, please, you tell me Vedanta. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is teaching Vedanta to the Supreme Lord just to save him from Maya. After later on, he is very embarrassed that I did something. But that time his identity was, I am the best known scholar on Nyaya, that to Navya Nyaya, new logic, which was his own kind of creation. So Mahaprabhu coming there, and that's a lesson for you and me preachers also. Somebody is already so puffed up. How do you preach to that person? So Mahaprabhu said, you preach to me. Please. Save me from ignorance. And Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya asks a few questions. What's your name? Krishna Chaitanya. So he said, Krishna Chaitanya? Swami means there has to be some Sagar Maharaj, Aranya Maharaj, Giri Maharaj, Parvat Maharaj. These are the names given by Shankaracharya. And don't think it is just Sagar, Giri, Aranya. Every word has a significance. The Aranyas are specialists in this particular thing. The Giris are in this particular thing. All highly intellectual type people. So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya thinks he has not taken a sannyas honorific name. Must be embarrassed by his sannyas title. He said, no, but what's your guru? Keshav Bharati. That's it. Bharati means a little bit lesser. If you say, you have done PhD? Oh yeah. What year? 2009. Which university? University of Dungarpur. You say, hey, what Dungarpur? Where exactly is it? There are 3-4 Dungarpurs in India. Well, this university, the dean was arrested for some fraud. For 2 years, it was made defunct. It started again. I said, obviously, PhD from such a university, how can you just... You would be embarrassed. You would not even tell others you have a PhD. Isn't it? But if you are PhD from Harvard,
Stanford, Yale, Wharton. So, wow, that's PhD. So, our Rishabhanu Prabhu, he had more than 35 PhDs under him. And once he told that most of them were just for getting those three letters after your name. Not interested in any research, not interested in anything. Just somehow get those letters. Then Sarvam Bhattacharya says, you made one mistake. In fact, two. In fact, many. You took sannyas when you are so young. How are you going to maintain it? And then you are so handsome. My God, I have never seen anybody more handsome than this. It's very difficult. You could be attracting people, especially then Prakashananda and others in Varanasi would say that, you know, such a handsome sannyasi and he's like a bhavuk, sentimental fool, dancing and singing in the streets, and young and old ladies are after him. Hey, what kind of sannyasi is that? Sannyasi means come with us, discuss Vedanta. The moment Vedanta comes in, Mahaprabhu says, will you teach me just for my edification? Now, Vedanta is Sarvam Bhattacharya's area. That's his province. Is it all right? So, 7 days continuously, Mahaprabhu like a dumb statue in front of him. After 7 days, he said, I have to ask you a question. Is it too fast? What I'm saying, is it too deep? You're not saying yes, you're not saying no, you're not giving me any reaction. How am I supposed to understand whether you understood or not? Now, the arrogance has gone. There is vatsalya. There is, like a father is asking him. And that's where he's the weakest. When you're arrogant, you don't pay for any upadesho hi murkhanam prakopaya na shantayi. Niti Shastra says, don't preach to fools. Don't argue with stupid people. They will beat you with experience. So, speak up, Krishna Chaitanya. He says, well, my knowledge of Sanskrit is quite good. I can understand what you are saying. In fact, Vedanta Sutra is like the sun. So he said, so what's the problem? Your explanation is like a dark rain cloud. Sarvam made a face as if somebody had slapped him. In his mind he's saying, how dare you? And he said, the meaning is clear. Where the meaning is clear, you don't need any explanation. But you are giving explanation which is directly covering the real meaning of Vedanta Sutra. So imagine a flustered face, angry, trembling limbs. He would say, you explain then in your own words. And then Mahaprabhu started saying, one after another, giving meanings, and Sarvam said, I have never heard anything like that. This verse comes in. Atma Ramascha Manayo. Now just today, I don't know any Sanskrit, by the way, but here we have, according to Sanskrit grammar, there are 7 synonyms for the word api. Did it ever occur to you that, you know, some simple word api or cha and could have 7, 10, 9 meanings? Sanskrit is such a rich language. Just for lotus, there are 7 or 8 words for lotus. Rajiv, Padma, Kamala, Pankaja, all meaning lotus. Everything, the richer the language, there are various ways. We say, I love. Rupa Goswami said, what love? Sneha, Prema, Mana, Madana, Madana, Madanakya, Mahabhav. We don't even know all these things. Is it not? So that's the richness. So then Sarvam Bhattacharya is like, every word is like sinking deeper and deeper and deeper.
And finally he feels that I am thoroughly defeated. And Mahaprabhu says, somebody please take care of this boy. Please don't allow him to move around. So, I will go now, Sarvabhauma. I will take darshan. Mahaprabhu goes, takes the early morning darshan, brings Jagannath Mahaprasad. Almost all of night, Sarvabhauma has not slept. He's kept his head like this. Mahaprabhu comes and says, Sarvabhauma, come here. Here is Jagannath Mahaprasad. Now he is so cultured enough. He says, yes, gladly accept. He takes it. He says, I'm sorry to remind you, but you have not taken your bath yet. He says, Jagannath Mahaprasad should be accepted. Prapti matrena bhoktavyam. The moment you see, this is a rule for us also. Please do not say no to Jagannath Mahaprasad ever. Even if you have eaten as much as 5 people can eat and somebody brings some Jagannath Mahaprasad, offer it respects. Touch it your head. That is also called honoring Mahaprasad. It's not that you have to eat all the time, but never say no. You make spiritual advancement simply by honoring Jagannath Mahaprasad. That is the point. So, Prabhupada has given us these kind of meanings about the 61 different explanations. When Radhanath Maharaj had his Brahmachari class in his room, all those of us who were there, we went through this chapter. And this was the book we studied. And my God, it was such a... I would say it was... We were happy that the lesson got over. That's how the education part was not enjoyable at all. But today, in retrospect, like here, Prabhupada is writing of unalloyed service. Alloy. If any of you are metallurgy engineers, you will understand what an alloy is. Alloy means 2 or 3 metals are kept together by a baser metal, something which is lower in quality. Like gold, which is 24 carat, that means least percentage of other things added. When it becomes 22 carat, 18 carat, 16 carat, and afterwards you have fashion street gold necklace for 20 rupees, you may say, it's just the name is gold, that's all. There's no gold in it. So, unalloyed devotion service. Famously, Prabhupada saw the big neon sign by United Steel Corporation. We make unalloyed steel. And Prabhupada like says, yes. And we make unalloyed devotional service. He liked that. So, alloy means a mixture. So, the last 5-10 minutes or so, I thought of discussing the best example of unalloyed service is our Damodar Leela. The Damodar Ashtakam we sing twice a day. We offer lamps to Yashoda Damodar. And our only request is, Tatha prema bhaktim svakamme prayacha. I want that prema bhakti, my Lord. And that prema bhakti is that unalloyed. So, just the first verse, things taken from or completely based on Sanatana Goswami's Tika, Sanatana Goswami's explanation of the whole Damodar Ashtakam. Namamishwaram Sachidananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam Yashoda Biyolu Kalam Davamanam Paramrishtamatyanta Todrutya Gopya. Namami. Namami is I bow down. An auspicious invocation. Invocation is Mangal. Like we say, Mangalacharan. Anything we start, it has to be auspicious. So, Satyavrat Muni is saying, Namami, Namam Ishwaram. After that, what Sanatana Goswami has done is, he has divided this particular glorification into various visheshas. Tattva vishesh, rupa vishesh, leela vishesh, parikara vishesh. So the first is tattva vishesh. Ishwaram. Although Krishna looks just like a baby boy, Damodar is just a baby boy. He says, no. Shishirada Gopinath ki jai. He is Ishwara. Three things about Ishwara in the first verse. Sarva Shakti Mantaha, Jagateka Nathaha, Nija Prabhuhu. He is all powerful. Why is a devotee praying to Krishna? Because he is all powerful. So I need the strength to offer you prayers. A devotee needs strength even to offer prayers to the Lord. So that is Sarva Shakti Manta. Jagateka Natha. You are the only one who is praiseworthy. Nobody else deserves any praise. Like I think in the north they have this thing. Ek tu satcha, tera naam satcha. Sometimes in north you find written on a wall. You are the only truth. In fact, when people die, we say Ram Naam Satya hai. Is it not? That means everything what we see is ephemeral. Surely is not going to last any longer than, the body is not going to last any longer than a few years. And everything connected with the body also is going to not last long. Third understanding is, hey Damodar, hey Lord Krishna, Nija Prabhu, you are my Lord. Many times people ask questions as if there are so many devotees chanting Hare Krishna and so many people praying to Krishna, what if Krishna says, no more now, enough? Like if I am being served by six people, take one laddu, I say, hey, enough. I am limited. If I am beaten with chappals also, I will say I am limited. Please don't beat more. So whether it is scorn, torture, or praise, or worship, I am still limited. Krishna is unlimited. Of course, devotees don't give Krishna the negative treatment. We want to praise him. But believe it or not, Prabhupada says, let the whole universe become a devotee of Krishna, and Krishna will not have any shortage. Like even after he has been filled, if somebody else comes and says, my Lord, I'm a bit late, I want to offer you something. All right, I'll take it. So Krishna promises to reciprocate personally, and that's our only hope. Next, Sanatana Goswami analyzes the Rupa Vishesh. Lasat Kundalam. Lasanti means swinging. The kundal is swinging in Krishna's ornaments with the necklace that also swings sometimes. Some ornaments are tightly bound to Krishna's body. Some are not. But this one is swinging. And also, lasat means it is dazzling. The ornament has become glorious just because it is on Krishna's body. And the bodily effulgence of Krishna is also reflects on the ornaments. This is so strange. 10:29:40 and 3:2:12. 10th canto, 29th verse, 29th chapter, 40th verse. The gopis are playing, oh Krishna, your beauty attracts the three birds. Who is attracted? Cows, birds, trees, deer. And they all have their own particular Romancha, Pulakita, their hair standing on end. That is Krishna's power of attraction. And the third canto, Uddhava prays, Krishna, your body is the ornament. These other ornaments are just extra. Bhushana, Bhushana Angam. Your anga is the real ornament which glorifies the other ornaments. You see, sometimes people say, this shirt looks so nice on you. And I say, he's a friend, he really praised me. Did he? He said, the shirt looks nice. oh, this golden necklace so nicely, I mean, it looks so nice on you. You're not nice, the necklace is nice. Think for a moment. Krishna, on the other hand, the ornaments on his body, they appear to be glorified because they are on his body. That's the difference. Next, Sanatana Goswami talks of Parivar Vishesh. Namamishwaram Satchidananda Rupam Vasat Kundalam Gokule. What does Gokule mean? Gokul is the place where you have gopas, gopis, cows, go and govatsa. In the West, people would ask Prabhupada, why is God tending cows? That's like a very low kind of occupation in India at least, isn't it? If you tell your parents, I'm going to become a cowherd. What? In fact, some idiot said that, oh, Krishna is such a loving person. He also likes the lower strata of society, the cowards. Now, do you think that the cowards are a low strata of society? Maybe today. But if you read the 10th canto, read Krishna book, Prabhupada said, they had milk, they had yogurt, they had gold, so much so that they could throw milk, butter, curds on each other. Where do you find such a festival today? Currency, there is no gold, silver, ornaments or precious stones left. We are proud of our plastic currency. Previously it was paper, at least organic. Now it is plain plastic. So we might be thinking that we are progressing. But you have to read Bhagavatam to understand what real progress is. So Krishna doesn't become a coward because actually there is no reason. He just loves. That's his original nature. And therefore, we will later come as to the glories of this particular community. Brajamana means an excellence which surpasses all previous leelas. Now those who are devotees of Ram, they feel that Ram is the epitome of all excellence, which is a fact. It's not wrong. There are two instances where Murari Gupta and Anupam are told by the brothers of Anupam and Mahaprabhu himself that chant Krishna's name. And Murari Gupta says, I can't. I tried all night, but I am a sold out slave to Lord Raghupati, Lord Ram. And Mahaprabhu says, certainly, because you are Hanuman. So you have to be like that. So there is a Ram Bhakta group, Krishna Bhakta group. One poet said that Ram's face is so beautiful. Ram's face is so beautiful. It is as beautiful like... He said, I can't find anything to compare. So Ram's face is as beautiful as Ram's face. But according to Tattva Rasa Vichar, Rasa Theology, Ram had to say no. To whom? Some sadhus, sages who were like typical long beard, emaciated, thin body, decrepit old age, and they want conjugal bhav with Ram. But Ram says, hey, not now. He says, why? This leela eka patni vrat. So there is a condition. I can't do this, I can't do that. In Krishna leela, 16,000 young girls are saying, we thought you will get us married somewhere. You have a good marriage bureau here. You could have helped us. But now we have no thoughts of getting married. So no thought of getting married to anyone else. We want to get married. But seeing you, we want to get married to you. Without a split second, Krishna said yes. Now imagine if somebody is asked by 16,000 girls today, he may say yes. But how is he going to manage affairs after that? Prabhupada talks of a Nawab who had 200 women, 200 begums. And they all were such a big drag on his treasury. They all wanted their own place. And finally the secretaries, they were more like begums to his secretaries rather than So he himself, he would ask that, aaj kahan jana hai? And they would say, okay, number 72 today. So that's how things would be there. And when the Nawab's fortune went down, all the begums also disappeared. Krishna married 16,000 girls at the same moment. It's not like he was standing and he said, okay, idhar se kyu banao? All those who want to get married, come through this door, offer a garland and then go out. No. 16,000 Purohits, the same guy, expanded. 16,000 Baratis, the same people, expanded. 16,000 those who are helpers, cooks, palaces. At a single moment, 16,000 princesses thought that, he is married to me, what about my other friend? And then all in one palace, 16,000 stories? No, 16,000 palaces. And Krishna with each of them. And morning Krishna would come for doing his Dwarkadish duties, they all would become one. So only one Dwarkadish would go in the Sudharma assembly. Evening business over, he has to go back. So Daruka would say, okay my lord, we are ready. And somewhere, 16,000 Krishnas would enter 16,000 palaces. So people say, how can the Lord expand? He's already expanded in your and my heart as a super soul. So 16,000 is nothing. Prabhupada said, what is Krishna's glorious because he's married to 16,000? 16 billion wives also would not be enough to carry out his full glories. So, what Ram, Narasimha, like we say Narasimha, no parents, no children, no other katha, except roaring and tearing apart Hiranyakashipu, and that's it. Matsya Avatar, nothing. Vamandev, parents, first of all. But parents like to see their kid married and having his family, nothing of that sort. So, there is a logical flow in how Krishna's appearance is like, this is the limit of what God can do. There is nothing he cannot do. Whatever people wanted, he did that. Especially his devotees. As Govardhan, he ate everything. Aniyor. So whether it is eating, whether it is sleeping, whether it is family life, whether it is defending, everything Krishna Leela is, according to Sanatana Goswami, Brajamanam. Excellent. Which was not shown before. Leela Vishesh. What does Leela mean? We have so many girls who are called Leelas. Leela. Leela. The Sanskrit meaning of Leela is playful. Playful means if you say, I go to the gym. Why? That's my Leela. That's not your Leela. You are lifting weights there. You are groaning. Oh! But I get something in return. I get muscles. No, that's not the point. I have a small incident in mind. The Maharashtra weightlifting team and we, our Brahmachari group, we both came down at Howrah station the same train. They were in different bogies. So 6-7 of them, huge bodies. And they were saying, Kuli, Kuli, Kuli. So, we thought, you are weightlifters. Why not lift your own luggage? We didn't say that because, looking at their size. But the fact is, that lifting weights, they say, hey, I lift weights in tournaments. See, I'm not a Kuli. So even a simple thing like lifting weight in one place is having glory and one place is having some low class nature, isn't it? Krishna were all the pastimes of the Lord. Number one, Leela means it has to be playful. No sweat, no perspiration, no anxiety. If you ask somebody, Bhaiya kuch udhar milega? The friend will say, kitni baar udhara mangta hai baar baar? Chalo, as a friend I'll give you, but not 500, only 200. Now he's giving you, but out of, he's not really helpful, he's also complaining. But when you say Leela, that means there is full cooperation of all the potencies of Krishna. It is not like Krishna will tell one potency, please do this, And they say, not now. Later. We'll see. And that's why he's the Supreme Lord. So please understand, Leela means there is no effort, there is no stress, there is no strain, there is no misery. And that's why only that thing is qualified to be called Leela. You and me don't have Leelas. We have karma. Forced labor. Avidya karma sangya anya tritiya shakti ishate. So Mayavadis, impersonalists, they argue that this is my Leela. I am being born, I am in a male body, I am getting old, my hair is turning white. Why? My Leela. No, it's not your Leela. Did you choose it? Can you make it black again? I choose not to, because that is my Leela. So this arrogance and stupidity, stubbornness is typical of a Mayavadi. They argue that if Krishna is doing what he's doing is Leela, then what I am doing also is Leela. He said, no, what you are doing is karma. You are forced. Then he also is facing karma. Do you know why? Because Gandhari cursed him, because somebody did this, somebody did that. We say that also is Leela. When you say God doesn't have any force, means no force. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. The Upanishads say, there is nothing which somebody can tell him, get up and do this. Like then the alarm goes. Do we curse the alarm for going at 4 o'clock? Alarm is saying, idiot, you only set me 4 o'clock. You put me off, I will never even wake you up. He said, nahi, utna to hai, I have to work to studies to do. So even a small thing tells you, get up, do this, pay this, otherwise that is fine. That is karma. But Krishna doesn't have anything like that. It takes some cool head to understand what is Leela and what is not Leela. So the devotees say, what he does is Leela, what I am undergoing is karma. And that is the proper Vedantic understanding. Atyantato dhritya gopya. Yashoda's fortune is, the Gopa community's fortune is shown in this word gopya. That how glorious is this Gopa community. That one of their gopis has caught Krishna from behind. Catching from behind, Sanatana Goswami says, is the last part, sneha vishesha. There is so much of love, and that whole Prabhupada says that those who are practicing Vatsalya Leela or those who want to really go in the mood of Damodar Leela should make the form of Yashoda based on Bhagavatam description come before their eyes. She is wide-hipped, very tall, extremely beautiful, and the hairs of her, the flower from her hairs is falling. They are falling. And she's still trying to catch Krishna. There, others are telling her, don't do that. You can't catch him. She says, no, today I have to. And she's breathing heavily. And finally, Krishna looks at her and agrees to be caught by her. It is said that yogis, the best of the Siddha yogis, after a lot, I mean, not even decades, but hundreds and thousands of lifetimes of meditation, they make a asana in their heart. Okay? And Krishna agrees to sit on that asana, provided he is merciful to them. Last point is the glory of Gokul. And that Gokul, when the gopis were sitting in a clearing in the forest, Krishna personally came and sat in the midst of them. So our Goswami is saying, just see, is this an ordinary situation? Here you have to do millions of lifetimes of austerities in order to convince Krishna, please come and stay. And here, Krishna on his own is asking the gopis, I would like to sit in the midst of you. So these are some meditations based on the first verse of Sanatana Goswami's Tika, commentary on Damodarashtakam. So we will stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama.